is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Confident in his forgiveness, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Thank you. children, and shall talk with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you the great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and cisterns hewn out which you did not hew, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take heed lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and swear by his name. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
And now, I am sure, dwells in you. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me, and the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
one true living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Begin this Sunday, another year of Sunday school. Speaking of children, story goes that a little girl was talking to her teacher about whales. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large animal, its throat was small. The little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher got irritated and reiterated that it was impossible for a whale to swallow a human. The little girl said, "When I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." The teacher asked, "Well, what if Jonah went to hell?" The little girl replied, "Then you ask him." Children had all been photographed, and the teacher was trying to persuade them to buy a copy of the group picture. Just think how wonderful it will be to look back when you're all grown up and say, "There's Jennifer, she's a lawyer, and there's Michael, and he's a doctor." And a small voice at the back of the room rang out, "And there's the teacher, she's dead." So I want this morning to look at the topic of Christian education through the lens of this morning's scripture readings. Now, the first reading from the Old Testament speaks about the responsibility of parents. You know that when a child is presented for baptism, the parents and the godparents are asked this question. They're asked, "Will you be responsible for seeing that your child is brought up in the Christian faith and life?" And the parents and the godparents take an oath and they say, "I will, with God's help." And the scriptural basis for that oath is in this morning's Old Testament lesson. Moses is speaking God's word to the children of Israel. "Be careful," he says, "to learn about the commandments of God." Now, to whom is that passage addressed? It's addressed to heads of household, to parents. The adults in children's lives are to ensure, says Moses, the children are taught God's truth, and then they are to do things that will help children remember God and his commandments. Parents and grandparents and other Christian adults have the primary responsibility for the Christian education of children. Now, sometimes that comes as a surprise to people. Christian education is not primarily the priest's job. We do educate children, however. Sunday school. Christian education is not the Sunday school's job, though we do provide an hour of theory every week. It is the job of the adults in children's lives. Impress them, stamp them on your children, says Moses. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So parents are to teach. Parents are to do things as well. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What about reading from the Bible or stories of the saints? Is there a cross in your child's room or anywhere in your house? What about prayers at meals? We are to do things, because parents and other adults are the primary Christian educators of children. You recall some years ago where there was that terrible rash of school shootings, not only in Colorado, but other places like Paducah, Kentucky, and so on. You remember those? Of one of the perpetrators, one commentator said, all of these children had one thing in common. They came from normal, middle-class homes. And that ought to scare us to death. Always, parents need to be asking the question, where is your child getting her moral and spiritual education? Impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Now, this leads quite well into the epistle from 2 Timothy. St. Paul is writing to the younger Timothy, and he makes mention of Timothy's sincere faith, which he has received from his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois, and from Paul himself. The adults in Timothy's lives are good examples. Again, when a child is presented for baptism, the parents and godparents take an oath that they will, by their prayers and witness, that is, the way you live your life, help the child grow into the full stature of Christ. Children learn best by example. That's Parenting 101. Oprah Winfrey has a wonderful phrase. She says, you are what you marinate in. You are what you marinate in. What a wonderful image. Just as food takes on the flavor of the marinade, so do people take on the flavor of their environment. The late Pontiff John Paul II was very fond of referring to the home as the domestic church. And so it is, because it's in the home that we first learn to be Christians, from the adults in our lives. Again, some people think that this happens only in Sunday school. And to be sure, we can help by providing the theory, but logic says that many hours of practicum at home will be more effective of 1 hour of theory on Sunday morning. Your child wouldn't be a very good violinist or pianist if she only practiced for 1 hour a week. And she won't be a good Christian if 1 hour a week is all the practice she gets at her faith. And it's in the marinade of the domestic church that flavors your child's character and your own. Take prayer, for example. If your child sees you pray, even if it's only prayers of blessing food, he will learn that it is a perfectly normal thing to do to call upon God for help and guidance and support. Or a family atmosphere where respect reigns. A child learns to love her neighbor as herself. Or when your child sees you giving a meaningful portion of your income to the church and the poor, she begins to understand that people are more important than things. And when your child sees you taking part in Christian education, he understands that learning about God is important and lifelong, not only something for children. Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith that lived first in your grandmother and mother. All of us need to be asking the question, how are we witnessing the Christian faith, and how might we do better this year? And then finally, the gospel. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. As long as the branch remains grafted into the vine, it receives the nourishment necessary for it to grow and flourish and bear fruit. On the other hand, no branch can bear fruit of itself, says Jesus. It has to remain in the vine. And Jesus gives us spiritual nourishment in various ways. First and foremost, he does it in the Eucharist, in the sacrament of his body and blood, his own gift of himself. And so important is this Eucharistic nourishment that Jesus says elsewhere, unless, that's a condition, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. In other words, you're dead. Now, you know this to be true. You know this to be true because you know that your love for God grows colder and your faith grows weaker with each communion missed. You know that to be true. And if there is anyone that needs strength and grace to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil, it is children. And that is why children are not only in class, but they are at Mass. When you and your child are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 1 hour for class, 1 hour for Mass, they are getting, and you are getting, a message that is very different from the messages they are getting from the culture. And this small block of time, coupled with a strong domestic church, is the antidote they need and you need. So remember our Lord's words here. I am the vine, you are the branches. We need to be grafted into that vine through the Eucharist, through the Scriptures, through prayer, through ongoing, lifelong Christian learning. Now I want to finish by asking a question. Why is it that we put so much time and energy and money into Christian education for adults and children in this place? It's not to babysit or to entertain. It's not to fill up time for adults. It's not to give the clergy one more thing to do. The answer is because even though we human beings are destined for heaven, our arrival there is not automatic. Jesus tells us that the road to eternal life is narrow and difficult. And in this life, we have to be reformed into God's image and likeness so that when we leave this world, God will recognize us as one of his own. And Christian education is meant to help you and your child increase in faith, increase in hope, increase in love, so that you and they will grow into Christ-likeness, into the full stature of Christ, and then one day arrive at heaven's gate. You know, of all the gifts that we as parents and grandparents can give our children, of health, wealth, fame, education, nice clothes, good taste, proper manners, of all of these things, the most important thing is formation for eternity. So we have Christian education in this parish because Jesus wants to make us all fit for eternal life. In the words of the Nicene Creed, let us stand and affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen.
Amen.
Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for James, our bishop, Douglas, our parish priest, and all who minister in your church. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray for George, our president, Mike and Rick, our governors. We remember those serving their country at wartime. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a respect for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us.
Rejoice with those celebrating birthdays this week: Stassel, Mary, William, Lorelei, Sharon, Lisa, Matthew, Austin, Dorothy, Mary Catherine, Dusty, Al, Dane, Cogan. Pray for those celebrating anniversaries of their marriages this week: Ed, Shirley, Chad, and Virginia. Pray for Dennis and Susan, whose household will be called.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit, especially those on our parish prayer list. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, especially Melba, George, and Ben, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with the Blessed Virgin Mary, James our patron, all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
I was a lowly curate in Dallas 15 or so years ago. The rector had a very annoying habit of reading every single announcement in the bulletin. And his wife, who sat in the back of the church, if the announcements went on especially long, would pipe up and would say, "Honey, y'all can read." That being said, I do have a few announcements to draw your attention. The first is that the schedule is getting increasingly busy. We have several things that are starting or have just started. The first is that on Tuesday, Alpha begins, and there's a blurb about Alpha in your bulletin. If you or a friend or someone is planning on attending Alpha, if you could just please make a reservation so we can meet an accurate count of who's coming. And then on Wednesday evenings crank up again, beginning with Mass at 6, supper, I believe, pizza this week at 6:30, and then classes, etc., at 7 o'clock. The adult Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for leading your servants.